You know, God is merciful. God takes care of us in spite of us, in spite of our ways. And I'm glad to know that today. It's good to see each one of you in the Lord's house. And again, I trust you've had a great week. Thank God for the good weather He's given us and the rains He sends our way and all that He does. God's so good. He really is. And I appreciate all He does for me, and I know you do too. Again, welcome today to Sunday School. Take your Bibles once again. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Today, as we continue studying about the church likened unto a bride, as Paul puts it in Ephesians chapter 5, and we talked about last week a little bit of how the church as the bride of Christ and her duties, our responsibilities as the church, what we ought to be doing, what we should be doing. And the first 13 verses of this chapter deals with our being separated people, being different people. And all through verse 22, I think it is, it talks about our duties as the bride of Christ. And we're going to continue with that today. We talked about last week how we're to follow Christ, we're to imitate God in our lives. And we're going to continue as we pray. Father, we thank you for life. We thank you for another day. Lord, this is the day you've made, and God, help us to rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, because without you, we wouldn't even be here. God, we're thankful, Lord, that you enable us day by day to be blessed by you, by others, and God, to be encouraged also by others. And we can also be an encourager. God, that's our desire today as we come together now and open your word once again. May the Word of God do for us, Lord, what nothing in this world can do or ever will do. And God, we just pray for your people today as you'll bless them. I pray especially for Brother Marvin today, Lord, as he's recovering from this fall. Lord, I just pray you strengthen his body and help him and raise him up, dear God. And for this dear grandmother, Lord, that someone's concerned about, Vicki, I pray for her that you would, Lord, provide that witness, Lord, that she needs. Lord, maybe someone she's never met, never heard, Lord, that they might present the gospel in such a way that she might receive Christ. You know, that's what life's all about anyway, is seeing people come to Christ. And Father, I pray today now, you'd meet every need that's in this room, in this class, other classes that are going on. God, I just pray your will and way will be done. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Ephesians chapter 5, I want to read verse 1. Be therefore followers of God as dear children. As dear children. Again, we started here last week, and we said here the believer is to walk following God. The believer is to walk following God. We're to live our lives following Him. You know, we need to pattern our life after someone that's real, someone that's genuine. We have a lot of friends and people that are, okay? But our primary goal in our life as a Christian should focus upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our example. We should try to follow Him. His life, His ministry that while he was here, and the example that He was while He was here, we need to be focusing upon Him. I said last week, to be a follower of God, to be a follower of Jesus Christ is one of the greatest challenges in all the Word of God. It's a challenge, folks. It's a challenge to be like our Savior, isn't it? But I'm thankful that He Himself, through Paul, has encouraged us to do that, to follow His example, and to look at His life, and to see what He's done, and see what He's doing in our lives, and wants to do in our lives. I said also that to walk following God, we have to become a follower. In other words, I'm saved by God's grace, okay? I know I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. But just like I had to take a step of faith to become a child of God, I have to also step of faith to become a follower of God. It doesn't come naturally. This flesh will not desire to follow God or to follow Jesus Christ. This flesh, if it does what he wants to do, it'll sit down and do nothing. It literally will sit down and do nothing. But we have to make a step of faith to follow God. It's, you know, sometimes we have to be encouraged. Sometimes we have to be challenged. Sometimes we have to be presented with an opportunity, but there's something in our lives as we are saved, somehow God's going to provide a way for us to have a desire to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. He will, because he wants us to grow. He wants us to be more than just saved on our way to heaven. And so we see here that it's necessary by becoming a follower of God that we take another step. I want you to turn back to Matthew, as I mentioned last week, about this example, but I want to look at it a little bit closer today. In Matthew chapter 4, we're talking about becoming a follower of Jesus Christ. Becoming a follower of Jesus Christ. Becoming one, he said. Now, in Matthew chapter 4, we have here in verse 18, very familiar verses here. Verse 18, 19, and 20. Becoming a follower of Jesus Christ. Notice here we have in verse 18, and Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee saw two brethren, Simon and Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. They were fishers. Now here we have two men, Peter and Andrew. You will have Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee. He sees these two men out by the sea. They're fishers. They're fishers. They're fishing. We see here, first of all, two men with a career, and they're fishers, okay? Here they are. They're busy. They're working. They love what they do, no doubt, because they do it. You know, how many of you love to fish? A few of you. I like to fish if they're biting, okay? If they're not, forget it. You know? I remember when I was a young boy coming up, I'd go to see my aunt, and she had four boys, and we would go with her, their mother, and another aunt down to the creek to fish. And we all go down there, and we all get our hooks and everything in order, you know, we'd be fishing, you know, and nobody's catching a fish, nobody's getting a nibble, nobody's getting a bite. You know, and us boys, you know how we are. We're ready to lay down the pole and go back to the house to do something, you know. And it ain't long before we do that. We'll lay down the pole and we'll get on a vine somewhere in a tree and, you know, we'll be swinging. We've been doing something, you know, as the young boys were. And my aunts, both of them, were sat there all day long whether they got a nibble or a bite or caught a fish. And no, it didn't matter to them. I'm not made that way, you know. But they're made that way. They're made that way, you know. Most men aren't. But they just like to get away from the house and where it's quiet and peaceful, you know, and enjoy that quietness, that solitude, if you please, you know. But here are two fishers, two men that love to fish. And Jesus is walking by the sea and he sees them. Now we know here, we know the content, we know Jesus has a purpose for walking by the sea. I believe with all my heart there wasn't anywhere in this world he went while he was here that he didn't have a purpose. He had a plan. For everybody he spoke to, he had a purpose and he had a plan. And here we find him, we're talking about again now, becoming a follower of Jesus Christ. Here's Peter and here's Andrew. They're fishers. They have their nets. They have whatever they had in that day to be the best, no doubt, that they could be as far as fishers. They knew how to fish. They knew how to catch fish because that was their livelihood, no doubt. That's how they made their living. That's how they provided for their families, you see. They were no doubt probably the best fishermen there was in that area, of that town. They were good fishermen. And here Jesus walks up to them and speaks to them. Here Jesus is coming by the Sea of Galilee, and he confronts them, you see. Notice their career, first of all. They're fishers, okay? Now notice in verse 19. As Jesus approached them, he said unto them, he said unto Peter, he said unto Andrew, what did he say? What's the next word? Two. Follow me. Follow me. Follow me, he said. And can you imagine you in the height of your career? I mean, you're doing a good job. You're accomplishing a lot. You're becoming successful in what you're doing. And all of a sudden, here somebody comes by and speaks to you and says, follow me. Follow me. My, what words, what strong words, what powerful words they were. This is a challenge, folks. This is a challenge to Peter and to Andrew. The career is fishers. Now Jesus comes along and he says, follow me, follow me. Now notice, not only did he say follow me, but notice what he says, and I will make you what? Fishers. Notice what else? Of men. They're already fishers, right? They're already fishers, but now Jesus says, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. I'll make you fishers of men. Now notice, this is the challenge here, is to follow Christ. They're already fishers. Now Jesus wants to make them fishers of men. Fishers of men. They're fishers of a career. And now he says, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men. Okay? Now notice, verse 19, verse 20. And they, what? Straightway left their, what? Nets and what? Followed him. Notice here their change. Notice their change. First of all, we see their self-denial. The Bible says in verse 20, and they straightway. They straightway. Without hesitation, okay? Without any doubt, without any other concern, and straightway, Jesus said, and straightway, they self-denial we see here in those two guys' lives. They deny themselves. You know, if he speaks to me to do something, I believe he wants me to do it, and I believe it's going to be for my benefit if I do it. And therefore, straightway, self-denial. They denied themselves to do what Jesus asked them to do. They denied themselves. Not only do we see self-denial here, but we see they leaving all. They took a stand. They left all. Notice it says, and they straightway left their what? Their nets. This is, as far as they were concerned, as fishers, that's all they have, okay, is nets. They have ways by means to catch fish. And here the Bible says they left their nets. They took a stand. They took a stand by faith to follow Jesus Christ. Here's a big step for them. When they leave it all, they left their livelihood. They left everything just to follow Jesus. Just to follow Jesus, you see. So we see here their self-denial, their stand, and then we see their steadfastness and followed Jesus. They were steadfast. I like what Paul says over in 1 Corinthians 15, I think it is 58. Therefore, my brethren, be ye what? Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of God, knowing not that your labor in God is not in vain. Steadfast, you see. We see this in following Christ. Here's an example we're talking about becoming a follower of God. Becoming a follower of God is Peter and Andrew. Again, they had a wonderful career. They were fishers. On the other hand, we see their challenge was to follow Christ. To follow Christ. And we see also their change. They denied themselves. They took a stand. And they were steadfast in following the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, God may not ask you to change your career. He may not ask you to change your career. He may not ask me to change my career. But he does want us to follow him. He wants us to follow him. He wants us to take the challenge. Sometimes we have to make a change. We have to make a change in our times we do things, you know. Sometimes we have to not only take a stand also. Sometimes we have to be steadfast in the Lord. Those of you that are here today, you are steadfast. You are steadfast when it comes to being faithful to come to God's house. And God will bless you and honor you for that. I really believe that with all my heart. So here we have an example of becoming a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is Peter and Andrew here in this passage of Scripture. Now, let's go back to Ephesians chapter number 5 again. Notice here, I said, this is one of the greatest challenges in the old Word of God. The idea of becoming a follower of Jesus Christ has to do with commitment. It has to do with devotion, and it has to do with attention. All these things have to be relevant in our life. Devoted to do what God wants me to do. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter where it is. Again, it can be at your job where you work today, where you work tomorrow, to be devoted to God regardless of what you do. You know, you don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a missionary to be devoted to God, to be devoted to Jesus Christ and to follow Him. If you are a born-again child of God, we all need to follow Him. We all need to follow Him daily in our lives, you see, and ask Him to show us. We need to be devoted to Him in our life. We need to be also committed to Him. And we need to pay attention to Him when He speaks to us and when He encourages us to do what He wants us to do. So the idea here is not that Peter and Andrew were to be friends with God or Jesus Christ, okay? The idea here is not that they were to be numbered now among others that are following Him. That's not the idea here at all. The idea here at all was that they were to be like Jesus when they follow Him. They were to imitate Him, you see. Again, back in chapter 4, verse 32, to be like Him, that is to be kind, okay, to be tenderhearted, okay, and to be forgiving in our hearts and our lives. This is what He's implying also as they follow Him. See, as God forgives us, we're also to forgive others, are we not? As we see that He has took our faults upon Him, we're to sometimes consider the faults of others, you see, and realize, hey, we're all in the same boat. We're all in this flesh, this house of clay. Also, we see as He is ever ready to hear the cry of people, we also need to be ready to sit down and talk to people and counsel with people and be concerned with people that have concerns in their life. We ought to be like that, you see. He's never weary with doing well, doing good. And you and I also should be always doing good. Always doing good for other people. What I'm saying is, forgiving love is a character of God. Forgiving and love is the very character of God Himself. Because God, for Christ's sake, get this now, God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven me. Amen? Therefore, we are also to be forgiving. Therefore, we are to also follow Christ. We're to follow Him because of what He's done for us. Listen, no one in this world has done for you or ever will do for you what Jesus Christ did for us. No one. It's impossible. Therefore, we are to follow Him. We're to follow Him. And it's been shown. His love has been shown towards us in what Jesus Christ did. We also see that it ought to drive us also to share the same love, the same spirit, because of what Jesus Christ has done for us in our lives, you see. To be like Christ, to follow Christ, to be like Him in every way that we possibly can. Now, what spirit are we to become followers of Christ? Look in chapter 5, verse 1, look at the last part of the chapter. Be ye therefore followers of God. Now look at the spirit, we're to be followers of God. He says, as dear who? Children. As dear children, we're to follow Christ. That's the spirit that we're to have in following Christ. We said also that loved children will follow their parents, won't they? If your child knows that you love them, chances are they're going to follow you. Now, sometimes it may not work. I reminded a story. The guy had a young boy, and the father went to the young boy's room and said, son, says you need to clean up your room. Says you got your shoes that are here, your bed needs to be made. I mean, you need to clean up your room a little bit now. I want you to get busy and clean up your room. Well, about 30 minutes later, the father came back, opened the door, and nothing has changed. The little boy is just sitting on the bed, you know, and doing something. And he said, son, says, I came by a while ago and asked you to straighten up your room. And says, nothing is being done. What's going on? He said, son, why aren't you cleaning up your room? And the little boy, being a little boy, he said to his father, I just don't want to. I just don't want to. You know, sometimes that's the way it is, isn't it? We just don't want to. But sometimes our wants to needs to be changed, you see? And there's a way they can be changed, you know? It's through motivation. It's through concern of others and loving others and others loving you and all this thing, you see. But here, followers of God in verse 1 is very, very important. Notice here the command. The command, it is to do. Notice it's a challenge also. Be ye therefore followers of God. It's a command, it's a challenge, isn't it? To be ye therefore followers of God. It's something to do, folks. It's not something to neglect, but it's something that all Christians should do. Be ye followers of God. That's what Paul said. He's speaking to who? He's speaking to the church, isn't he? He's speaking to the church. He's not speaking to lost people. He's speaking here to the church, all born-again believers in Christ Jesus. That's who he's speaking to. So we see here the duty of the command, it is to do. Now notice also, it is to do what God does. Be ye followers of God. We're to do what? We're to do what God does. Back in verse 32, we see what God does. He's tenderhearted. He's loving. He's forgiving. He's kind. All these things that God is. So this is the command. This is our duty. It is to do what God does, and it is because He does it. That's why. It's because God does it. If we're going to follow God, we're going to have to do what He does, aren't we? And we're going to have to do it because He does it. You know. It's very important here that we see this. It's a command. It is a challenge to us. It's a duty to us. Not only it is to do as He does it. In following God, we're to do that as He does it. Not as I do it, but as He does it. Okay? Again, there's those words. Tenderheartedness, kindness, forgiving, all these things. That's the way we're to follow God. As He does it. Again, it's a command, it's a duty as a child of God to follow Him, to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, you see. Now, why should we follow God? Why should we follow Him? First of all, we follow Him because we are His children. Amen? We're His children. If you're saved this morning, you are a child of God. Amen? Therefore, we are to follow Him because we are His dear children. The Bible says, follow Him as His dear children. That's who we are. We're children of God. I'm thankful this morning that I can say, not boastfully, I'm saying thankfully, I'm glad I'm a child of God. I'm thankful today that I'm saved on my way to heaven. Therefore, we are to follow Him because we're His children. We're also to follow Him because we're made in His image. We're made in His likeness. God created a man in His image and His own likeness. From the dust of the ground, did He not? And He breathed into His nostrils what? The breath of life, and man became a living soul. Therefore, we're to follow God because we're made in His image. We're to follow God because we're His dear children. We're to follow God also because He says, be holy as I'm holy. There's many passages of Scripture that relates to that, how we're to be holy like God. We're to be like God. That's in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 16. And also, we're to follow God because to be more like God at His appearing. Now, Jesus is coming soon, folks. I will be that. And I want to be as much like Him as I can whenever He does come to get me. Don't you? I want to be as much as I can like Him. Folks, listen. I know I've got a long ways to go. But I want to follow Him every day of my life to the best of my ability. The best of my ability. And the best of the ability that He gives me to follow God. So becoming a follower of God, followers of God, is really, really important. Now, what is the means? What is the means that's going to enable us to fulfill this duty to follow God? What can help us? What's going to enable us to do that? Number one is to pray. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. The Bible tells us we need to pray. I really believe this with all my heart. There's nothing of earthly value that's going to ever be accomplished apart from prayer. I believe that with all my heart. Praying is the key in our lives to be a follower of Jesus Christ. We need to pray. Pray without ceasing. That is the means that we use. Also, I want you to turn to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Not only should we pray, but we should be constantly aware of His love towards us. Psalm 139. To fulfill the duty of following God, we need to be aware that He knows all about us, that He sees us, He loves us, and His love is continually. It never fails. It never fails. Psalm 139, look at verse number, verse number 6. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, for it is high. I cannot attain it. Notice verse 7. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Isn't it wonderful to know that God sees me? No matter where I'm at. No matter where I'm at. And it's constantly realizing that His love continues to follow me no matter where I am. No matter where I go in this life, I can realize that God loves me. It's a continual thing as being under His eye when we follow God, when we follow Him. He's watching out for us. He's watching for us. Every day of our life. And what a blessing to know that also. Also, another means we need to realize as far as following God and following the duty, fulfilling this duty that is given to us, is that we need to consider how others have followed Him. Others have followed Him also. Look back in your life and you've read books, and I have too, of men and women all have followed God in their life. They have simply given their all to follow Him. We have missionaries that we support monthly, yearly here, that are following Jesus Christ. They're following Him. They're following Him. And what a blessing it is to know that also. So, we talked about, first of all, here in verse 1 of chapter number 5, to be ye followers of God. Be ye followers of God as dear children. That should be our desire. The believers to walk following God. How? By becoming a follower of God. By becoming a follower of God. You see, something we have to step out by faith and do. Also, the believer is to walk following God by loving as Christ loved. Look at verse number 2. Look at verse number 2. And walk in what? In love. And walk in love, notice, as Christ also hath loved us, and has given Himself for us an offering, notice, and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. We're to follow God also by loving as Christ loved, as He loved. Jesus Christ made an offering. He sacrificed Himself. He sacrificed Himself in my place, in my stead, as my substitute, and also for you. He made that sacrifice. That's His love. He also became a sweet fragrance to God. You know, God's love is always an acting love, isn't it? Always acting. Every day of our life, we can see the love of God upon us, and in our lives, and in the lives of others that we know. We see this. The believer is to love so much that he gives himself as an offering and also a sacrifice. An offering and a sacrifice. We're to love so much with love as Christ loved. That's what he did. He gave an offering, he gave a sacrifice, and he gave an offering, did he not? By his love. So we also are to do that. There's no limit to the offerings and the sacrifice of our lives to God. There'll be no limit. I can't love God too much. I can't love him too much. I don't know why he loves me like he does. And I should love him more. I should love him more. So we see that we should follow God by loving as Christ loved. Notice the walk of love here. In verse 2, and walk in love, notice it says, as Christ also has loved us. As Christ has also loved us. That's how we are to love, the walk of love. This is the great duty of the law. Galatians 5:14 tells us that we should love one another. We should love our neighbor as ourselves. Okay? Also, we see the new commandment in John 13, verse 34. How we're to love our neighbor also. We're to love the Lord Jesus Christ and to love our neighbor also. It must be love of deeds and not just words only. You know, the major thing about Jesus when he was here, he didn't just love, he didn't go up to somebody and say, I love you. He demonstrated it. He demonstrated it in his ministry while he was here on this earth, that he loved people. People sensed, people felt the love of Jesus Christ when they were in his presence. They knew that he loved them. Not by just what he said, but what he did. What he did, you know. It was necessary for that. It was passionate too. It was self-sacrificing. Self-sacrificing. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, I want you to turn to 1 John 3:16. 1 John, look at verse chapter 3 and verse 16. These 3:16s are something to look at sometimes. 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, as we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. See? We see the love of Christ. The love of Christ. We should love as Christ loved. Love as Christ loved. It ought to be a constant love, like that of Christ in our life every day. Constant love. But you know, it's easy, because we live in a sinful world, to get caught away from that, isn't it? It really is. But may God help us to be strong. Be strong. We also see in verse back to Ephesians chapter 2, chapter 5, the next part, we see we're walking in Christ by loving as Christ loved, the pattern of his love. The pattern of his love. We see he has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God. He gave an offering for us. Jesus Christ gave an offering for us. Who offered himself? It was Christ who gave himself. Christ gave himself for us. Okay? We also see, what did he offer? He offered himself, the body of Christ. He offered the body of Christ. All he was as God, and all he was even as a man, he gave it for you and for me. That's a big sacrifice, folks. That's a big sacrifice. All that he was, all that he was. To whom did he offer himself? He offered himself to God. As a sweet-smelling savior. We see this here. The design here is that God might accept the sacrifice, and he did. And he did, you see. What was the results? Again, a sweet-smelling savior he was. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ was well-pleasing to his Father, God. It was well-pleasing. He was satisfied with the sacrifice that he gave. We find in Christ's love today, when we look at his love, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, it wasn't a force, it wasn't a motive, as far as we're concerned. It should be for us a measure of how we should love. How he loved, we should love. Okay? He wasn't motivated to love, he wasn't forced to love. He loved because he loved us. Okay? And that should be the measure of our love. Not by force. I'm going to love you because I have to. No. I'm going to love you because I love you. I love you. And that's what Jesus did. That's exactly what he did here. Because God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you, we're to follow God. We're to follow God. Now look at that verse one more time. Verse 2, and walk in love as Christ has also loved, as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to love for a sweet-smelling savor. Now, you remember Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus approached Peter and Andrew to follow him, who were they? What was their career? Fishers. Now, when Jesus says, follow me, Peter and Andrew, he didn't say, if you follow me, I'll make you preachers. Did he? He didn't say, I'll make you missionaries. But he said, I'll make you fishers of men. Fishers of men. He made it so, even in changing their career, even changing what they were doing, they were still fishers. Fishermen. They were fishers. You see. Now, on the other hand, when we see as following Christ ourselves, we know that Jesus Christ loved us so much that he gave himself for us. And because of that love, it has infiltrated our lives now as born-again children of God, and the Spirit of God lives in us, so we have the love of God in us, don't we? Okay? Now, Jesus is trying to encourage us to follow him by loving as he loved. In other words, he's not trying to help us to do something that he hasn't done. Just like he was asking Peter and Andrew to be fishers of men now rather than fishers of food, so to speak. He's trying to help us now as children of God to love him the way he loved us. The way he loved us. My, what an opportunity we have, folks. We have no excuse, you know, to love, not to love. We have no excuse not to follow. Jesus Christ is our example. May we realize this, take this from Peter and Andrew, yes, from Jesus, and from Paul as he writes this passage of Scripture here. The walk of love and the patterns of Christian love is by following Jesus Christ. Follow him. Follow him. That's all involved. But yet it's so simply said, but it's sometimes it's so hard to do. It's so hard to do. Why? Because we still have this house of clay. We're dealing with it all the time. We're dealing with it all the time. But greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Amen? I like that song we sing, follow, follow, I will follow Jesus. You know, no matter where he leads me, I will follow him. May the Lord help us to realize that should be our goal. That should be our goal in our life. Paul's given us that example. He's encouraging us as the children of God. It's our responsibility. It's our duty. It's a command from God to follow him. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the word that you've allowed us to be able to have to direct us and to help us and to instruct us, dear God. I pray now, Lord, that each of us will go back, we'll read, we'll meditate, we ask for your guidance. We ask for the Spirit to lead us as we, in this walk, follow you. Lord, bless now the service we're about to go into. Lord, bless the singing. Bless the preaching of thy word. Dear God, there's one in our midst that's lost. I pray somehow today that we'll trust Christ as Savior. And we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.